the Seven Stadium. This is The Grill.
Live from the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens.
The Wild is calling. Will you answer?
Hashtag Run Wild.
Yeah, welcome back to our broadcast down here at the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens. We have been here in situ all weekend. We were on air from 2 o'clock this afternoon. We are into the final throes. We will see you all the way up until we cross over to our partners at TalkSport for our live match from the English Premier League. It sees Manchester City, the leaders, the defending champions, as they take on Bournemouth from the Etihad Stadium. We will be live to the UK momentarily to get a little catch-up on team news ahead of that one. But let's just put you in the picture of what is going on from a rugby perspective. And Robbie Greenfield has found his way to our little broadcast booth. You're watered, you're fed, my man. And
yeah, I got lost several times en route here, but I finally did make it. So yeah, happy to be here with you fine gentlemen. And I tell you what, witness two incredibly tight, tense and exciting semi-finals.
You did. You certainly did. You were up in the commentary booth. You had the perfect vantage point to watch all of that, and you enjoyed it?
I certainly did, yeah. I was obviously disappointed to see England bow out to New Zealand in that first semi-final. Had their chances late on. They were putting pressure on the New Zealand line right at the death there, but New Zealand held firm. Impeccable defence, I think, were worthy winners just by that one conversion separating them. And then it was a very, very dramatic game in the second semi-final. The USA took a 2-try lead. Australia pegged them back, then went 17-12 up. The USA equalised, and then in literally the last couple of throws of the game, the USA crossed right in the corner for that 22-17 win. So it's nice to see new teams in the final. I know New Zealand made the final last year, but USA, I don't think they've made a final here in Dubai. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty confident not made a final here in Dubai. So it's an incredible moment for them, incredible moment for their coach Mike Friday, who was not happy with some of the pool performances, but I'm sure he would have been happy with the way they closed out Australia. Great game of rugby. Looking forward to the final.
Absolutely,
half past seven.
Absolutely, certainly that. 7:29 is when it is scheduled to get underway. It is New Zealand against the US of A. And just to echo what you've said there, Rob, you're absolutely spot on. Mike Friday, fantastic. Always gives us his time over the course of the weekend at an Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens. We're going to break away, if we can, just for the next 5 minutes or so from all things rugby. We'll continue to build up towards that final, because I'm delighted to say that our good mate is on the line. It is Adam Bridge, match commentator for the opening feature match for us this evening. It is Manchester City against Bournemouth, and I will say a very good afternoon to Mr. Bridge now.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, Adam. Yes, we are here at the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby 7. So our focus very much on the rugby, your focus very much on the football. Big game this in our featured match from 7 p.m. over here in the UAE. Manchester City taking on Bournemouth. Hiding for nothing for Bournemouth. Manchester City look so impeccable. You fancy them to get the 3 points today, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, these sides met on the 23rd of December last year, and it's possibly one of the worst performances I've seen from a Premier League team. Bournemouth came to lose. They had absolutely no intention of trying to win. They were in a bit of a rut at the time, and I think Eddie Howe saw that as an opportunity that we're on a hiding to nothing, so therefore we're not going to risk anything. They played 3-6-1, actually, if we're going to be honest about the formation. There was no attacking intent, and they rolled over and lost 4-0. It was predictable, it was boring, it was dull. I'm hoping that Eddie Howe is approaching this slightly differently, because they've had a much better start to the campaign. It's their best ever Premier League season so far. But they are playing a Man City side who have just, for me, started to roll into form. They look like they've clicked into gear, and that's with a whole host of injuries as well, denying them of several first-teamers today. But actually, they look an impressive unit. You know, Europe is done now for them until February. They've got an opportunity to relax, of course, in their final group game. They've already qualified. They're in the next round of the League Cup as well. But the league will be their focus in a very, very busy December, and an opportunity to stretch that lead at the top of the table. So you've got a fancy City today. And Bournemouth's record there is the worst of any visiting Premier League team.
Got a bit of a random question for you, Adam. We've been discussing Eddie Howe on our sports show, and perhaps his glass ceiling, the fact that he may not get an opportunity with one of the big Premier League clubs, despite the fact he has absolutely worked wonders with Bournemouth, taking them up the divisions all the way through to eighth in the Premier League. What's your assessment of that? Do you think Eddie will get a chance one day at one of the big six clubs, or will those doors remain closed to him?
It's a tricky one to answer. If you're asking me if he deserves an opportunity, then I think undoubtedly the answer to that question is yes. You know, he's a terrific young coach. Obviously, it's his second spell at Bournemouth. And what he's achieved at that football club is quite extraordinary. And he continues to unearth gems. You know, the way he's turned Ryan Fraser into the player that he's got, the what he's got out of Callum Wilson and various others in that squad is quite extraordinary. And you look at that back line, it's a similar back line that's got them promoted as well. So he puts a lot of faith, a lot of trust. He has a skilled way of playing. He's an excellent coach. But are these big sides prepared to take a chance? Now, I don't think it's a chance because you look at what he's achieved in the Premier League and how he's kept Bournemouth there, who at the start when they first came up were cannon fodder in theory to everybody and would immediately get relegated on a limited budget. He has done an absolutely fantastic job. So yes, he deserves his opportunity. I'm not sure. I think the only club that might give him an opportunity would be someone like Spurs when Pochettino moves on. I think Daniel Levy has probably got the vision to say, actually, someone like Eddie Howe would be the perfect man to come in at Spurs. I think they are the only one of the top five or six clubs who would take a chance on Eddie Howe.
Cannot agree with you more on that front, Adam. I think you're absolutely spot on. If Pochettino does leave in the summer, or maybe the following summer, United, Real Madrid, of course, both teams that we know are... interested, shall we say, in Mauricio Pochettino. There have been long links with that man and those two jobs. Eddie Howe could perfectly slot in at Spurs. I want to just talk to you a little bit about City. I'm looking at their starting 11 today, Adam. They really have rolled the dice a little bit. It just shows you strength and depth with that football club today. Pep Guardiola, he's got the luxury of leaving out his top goal scorer.
Yeah, he has. So he's not even on the bench today. So I don't know if there's a little niggle that we're unaware of. But with 7 wins from 7 at home, that, you know, they are incredibly comfortable. There are the 4 changes today. You know, Walker's out, Delph's out, David Silva's out. I mean, there's another luxury when you can afford to leave him out. And it means Danilo and Zinchenko get their first Premier League starts of the season. But what we have seen with the partnership that's growing between Laporte and Otamendi is it's looking quite good at the heart of that defence. And, I mean, they've conceded one goal from open play all season. And they haven't conceded to a midfielder or a forward from open play. They've conceded from a penalty spot, but not from open play. It's an extraordinary statistic when you consider we are 13 games in to this Premier League campaign. And that is why I think we are seeing them just rolling into gear at the minute, because defensively, they're sound. He's given this time to players like Zinchenko to bring them through, because potentially with Mendy's injury, obviously he's quite key for them. But the ability to rest the likes of Silva and Aguero and Walker and Delph, who's been in really good form as well, it's quite extraordinary. Mahrez can't even get in the starting 11, and he's been in really good form this season.
Adam, you just mentioned what quality City are. Is it a scenario that we just give them the trophy now already, or do you believe there's somebody that can still challenge them till the end of the season?
Personally, I just give it to them now, because I don't think Liverpool... I think Liverpool will be their closest challengers, but I don't think Liverpool are going to have what it takes to keep going. I mean, the only advantage that may fall Liverpool's way, potentially, is obviously if they don't qualify for the next round of the Champions League, but then you're into Europa League territory. And, you know, would Jurgen Klopp want to win the Europa League just to finally get that trophy in the cabinet at Liverpool? I think he probably would. And again, for me, when they start playing Thursday, Sunday, that could well scupper any idea they have of challenging Man City. I think the rest of them are also runs. You know, it's City's title to lose from here on in. And I just don't think, looking at some of Pep's numbers today, I just don't think Pep Guardiola would even consider not winning this title. You know, he's not going to blow it. He's too clever, he's too smart, his squad's too good, and as a team and a unit, they are streets ahead of everybody else.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that at all, in actual fact, Adam. I want to talk, if we can, last one from me before we get team news and a prediction from you. Raheem Sterling, you know, we've been talking, James Milner started the season really well at Liverpool, but let's be honest about it. Right now, if the season was to end, Raheem Sterling would have a real good shout of being named Player of the Year. His just ascent, his maturity, his growing influence at club and country is obviously down to he, but more so, I would imagine, Pep Guardiola. What have you made of his form, and does he get the credit that perhaps he doesn't get?
I think he does deserve the credit now. You're right, I don't think he does get it. Someone talked to me about James McLean and his issue with regards poppies, etc. And I said, could you actually imagine if Raheem Sterling refused to wear a poppy on his shirt? I mean, the grief he would take, because he has been public enemy number one for the press. I think everyone forgot how old he was. I think they didn't allow him that time to mature, because he burst onto to the scene at Liverpool with some of those performances, particularly against Bournemouth, who he scored a hat-trick against. And to be fair to him, I mean, his record against Bournemouth is quite phenomenal when it comes to goal scoring. I think because he came so quickly and came so prominently and was so effective, I think people forgot how young he was. And I think with all these young players, when they burst on the scene, they do go through lulls in form and they do have issues. But I think in Pep, he's got someone who knows how to bring the best out of him. He nurtures him, he loves him as he's required to. But then what you also saw, whatever it's showboating against Manchester United at the end, that he pulled him to one side and said, look, we don't do that. That's disrespectful. That's not how we behave. And I think Raheem Sterling, for all of his off-field antics, needs someone like that in his life, not only to love him and to coach him on the football field, but sometimes just to pull him into line and just remind him how lucky he is to be doing what he does.
Absolutely spot on, Adam. Listen, before we let you go, team news then. We know that, Pep Guardiola has shuffled the pack somewhat. Bournemouth as well, I'm noticing that there's a big defender who we haven't seen in a while back in the starting 11. Give us the team news.
So for City, as we say, so Edison's in goal. It's Danilo, Laporte, Otamendi and Zinchenko across the back. Fernandinho in his usual familiar holding midfield role. And then Sterling, Gundogan, Bernardo Silva, Leroy Sané and Gabriel Jesus will lead the line. As I mentioned, no Aguero, but David Silva's on the bench, as is Mahrez and Foden and Delph and Walker and company. Also amongst the Man City substitutes today. But aside from that, they're pretty much down to the bare bones with all the injuries they've got going on. As for Bournemouth, three changes today. David Brooks drops down to the bench. Dan Gosling also on the bench today. Jefferson Lerma is suspended. So Lewis Cook comes back in with Andrew Sermon. And a first start for some time, this season in particular, for Tyrone Mings, who looks like he's going to play as part of a back three today. For Bournemouth. So Begovic is in goal. It'll be Cook, Mings and Ake, the three centre-halves. So a little bit of an unfamiliar role for him as well. Then Francis, Sermon, Cook and Daniels across the middle. And what I'm pleased to see, having said all that about Eddie Howe and Bournemouth before, is that he appears to have gone for it up top today, because King's in, Fraser's in and Wilson as well. So based on that team selection, he may have come to have a go. What a silly boy.
Prediction time then. Is it going to be another rout for City?
I can't see it won't be. Every visit there, they've conceded 13 goals in total so far. They get absolutely spanked every time they go to the Etihad. So I'm going to go for at least 3-0 today.
3-0 it is. Adam Bridge, always a pleasure, my man. Enjoy the match. And who have you got alongside you in the comms box today?
Adrian Clarke today, sadly.
Adrian,
I only say that because he's not far away.
Love it, Adam. You and Adrian, enjoy the match, my man. We'll be tuning in with you in about 40 minutes' time. The voice there of Adam Bridge. Always a pleasure. Thanks, Ad.
Cheers, boys.
Yes, indeed. Our featured match from 7 p.m. Manchester City against Bournemouth. Very difficult to disagree with anything that Adam says. He speaks an awful lot of sense, and he's right. It will be a win for City today, no doubt about that in my mind. And you all in agreement that they will go on and win the title? I've said Liverpool from day one, so I've got to stick with that, despite the fact that I despise that football club.
That's exactly why you're tipping them. You're tipping them precisely because you are planning on somehow double and reverse jinxing them.
That's the
You plan. Did that the yes. exact same thing when they reached the final of the UEFA Champions League. You tipped them to beat Real Madrid. I saw true sense in that one and tipped Real Madrid to win and got a rare prediction win.
Indeed
over you. Because usually you do have the edge
Indeed.
When it comes to predictions. But yeah, I mean, Liverpool, they don't quite look like they're firing on all cylinders. Their attacking three seem a little out of sorts. Mo Salah has been brilliant in patches, but not as consistently brilliant as he was last season. I know that more is expected of Sadio Mane and Roberto Firmino, but for me, Liverpool a little just too reliant on those three, the team unit of Manchester City. You just feel like, as Adam said, they can slot in and out. They're interchangeable, more so than the Liverpool team. And over the course of a long, arduous season where the fixtures are going to pile up, I just don't see how Liverpool aren't going to have a bad spell. And it's hard to envisage City having the same.
4001, let us know your thoughts on that as well. Title challengers, Manchester City, do we all just throw in the towel now and let this season go on?
Well, they're only 2 points ahead.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I genuinely think Liverpool will run them close. Keep your thoughts coming into us. 4001, we're with you for the next 40 minutes. We're live from the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens.
This is The Grill.
Live from the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens.
The Wild is calling. Will you answer?
#RunWild.
Listen to Dubai I-103.8. You listen to The Grill. We're broadcasting live from the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens. Premier League action coming your way just after 7 o'clock this evening here on Dubai I-103.8. Stay tuned for that. And, of course, we'll keep you updated with what's happening down here at the Sevens. We're just going through those stages, aren't we, Archie, at the moment? We're seeing the subsidiary titles, the subsidiary elements of the competition be concluded ahead of the big final, which is scheduled for 7.29.
7.29, once we get the national anthems done, will be underway, Tom. It's New Zealand taking on USA. New Zealand pipped England in the semi-final, 7 points to 5. The USA got up and scored a late try to defeat Australia, 22 points to 17. So New Zealand will be taking on USA in the cup final at the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens. We'll see the third and fourth playoff will be between those two losing semi-finalists. Of course, England-Australia, the old rivalry, repeated again. It was last night when Australia got up with a one-try victory. Can England get some revenge for third and fourth? And, of course, in a match that everyone thought could have been the final, the fifth play playoff, sees the defending champions South Africa take on one of the crowd favourites, Fiji. So there's still plenty of cracking rugby sevens action to come.
Plenty of rugby being played around the world at the moment as well, none more so than the Gallagher Premiership, where Bristol are taking on Leicester as we speak. Bristol lead Leicester by 35 points to 10 in that one. One game underway over in the top 14 as well, where Montpellier are taking on Clermont. Clermont Auvergne, that is. Montpellier leading that one by 9 points to 7. Barbarians play a little later on against this Argentina's Puma side as well. We've been talking Barbarian rugby with a number of the internationals that are here at the moment, a number of who've run out for the Barbarians in their time. We talk about the growth of rugby a lot, Mark Archer. We talk about the future of rugby. Keen to maintain the traditions like the British and Irish lands, like the Barbarians?
Yeah, I love those old formats. I'm a bit of a traditionalist, but it's just so hard to get them fitted into this schedule that we have now. It's we've seen a massive month in November of autumn internationals. The players then are away from their clubs for a long time. They've got to go back and earn their money at the club rugby. Where does the Barbarians concept fit into the modern day sort of rugby ecosystem? It's quite difficult to find a place. It's the same with the British and Irish Lions. It's comes along every 4 years. It's a wonderful concept. It's just hard to get it put together given that sort of structure we have in a place where rugby. But it would be a massive shame if any of those two fine institutions do sort of decline or demise in future years.
Barbers against Pumas kicks off in 5 minutes time. A great tradition in the world of rugby, a great sort of season ender in many ways. Nice touch as well, Chris McCarty, they're doing this year. So all the former Barbarians, everyone that's pulled on a shirt for Barbarians in years gone by, at their particular specific number, their names have been incorporated into the numbers that the Barbarians are wearing today. So again, sort of touching on that history that goes with the Barbers.
That is awesome. I wasn't aware of that. I mean, the Barbarians have become, as you say, they've become a bit of an institute, haven't they? And it's an amazing, I don't know the origins of it, but it's always been a wonderful touch. And I always think it's like the Harlem Globetrotters in the world of basketball. It'd be a lovely touch in football if we could have something like that, where exhibition matches, where, you know, guys who perhaps don't get to play in a World Cup, on the eve of a World Cup, they get to come in and play a game like that. It's great tradition, and that's just another wonderful touch.
It's interesting as well, isn't it? Because there are those sort of those little bits of rugby folklore that go with the Barbarians, yeah. The fact that they all wear your club socks, you know, not your national socks, you wear your club socks. And there was always, correct me if I'm wrong, there's always an uncapped player in the team at some point, isn't there?
Yeah, that's correct. And again, the team makeups always vary about which international teams are playing, which players they can get. They've obviously got a conflict sort of club and country duties, but they always find a way to get some youth in there. They have a great lot of camaraderie. I was trying to look earlier at some of the social media that came out of the week. It's a bit like when we had Apollo Perellini on playing for this World 11.
He would have played Barbarians.
Oh, he would have been all over the Barbarians concept. And he was saying he never got a chance to play with some of the South African greats. But there he was sharing a room with Naas Bota and Dr. Uli Smit and some of these guys that he never got the opportunity to play against, given the circumstances when rugby was a much more difficult game to play everyone in the world back in the early 90s. And he said that's some of his best memories as a professional rugby player or rugby league player, were played on those sort of mixed union, mixed teams back in the day. So, yeah, wonderful, wonderful stories.
Did they get paid? Is it just their...
5 grand.
Is that what it is?
5 grand, yeah, readies. And a Brian Prebble. We just had it's funny you say that, because we've just been doing a Q&A with the two Brians, Life of Brian. Brian with an I and Brian with a Y, as we've been doing over. And they were talking about Barbarians, both of them.
They must be fed up with that shtick by now.
They've had enough of it. They've had enough. That's it. They've done and dusted now. Both of them played for the Barbarians 3 times. And Brian with a I was ribbing Brian with a Y, saying, yeah, but you must have liked, you know, the old brown paper envelope at the end of it. £5,000, that would have bought you a province over in South Africa, wouldn't it?
I think Brian O'Driscoll's only barbarian tribe was against South Africa.
Correct, in, yeah. In 2000. 45 seconds into a game, quiz. Wasn't it?
Yeah. And I got to ask, the Gareth Edwards try, that was for the Barbarians, wasn't it?
It was for the Barbarians against the All Blacks. And I think that match was at the old Cardiff Arms
Is
Park.
Is that still the greatest try of all time?
It goes down in folklore as one of the greatest tries of all time. If it's not the greatest, then I wonder. But that was an amazing passage of play, basically under their own posts. And
greatest commentary of all time.
Multiple
as well.
Pairs of hands and structures of the game. And then all of a sudden, Gareth Edwards comes flying down the left wing, takes a ball at pace and dives over in the corner and went through again. One of those iconic moments in rugby. I can't remember the date. It must be in the mid-70s, I guess, that match took place.
I just remember the commentator going, brilliant. Oh, that's brilliant. As they just keep on.
It's moved on a little since then,
hasn't it? A little.
Just a quick one on that Barbarians, though. We're talking about, you know, there's us getting a bit carried away about the allure and the mystery and the beauty of Barbarians. They are being coached by a South African this time round. Razi Erasmus is the coach of the Barbarians for this particular game. He has selected 13 South Africans in his 22-man squad as well, so might be a little bit top-heavy with a certain preference for Razi Erasmus, but some big names, no less, turning out for them. Malcolm Marks, Sia Khaleesi, Jesse Creer, Andre Pollard are all among those selected, along with the Fiji scrum half, Frank Lomani, the Italian winner, Tommaso Benvenuti, and the Argentinian legend, Juan Manuel Leguizamón, who's played in 85 tests for the Pumas as well, playing against the Argentina Pumas. So it'll be an interesting one to watch. Listen, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, there's one thing we haven't talked about, and one thing I really want to talk about with the boys, is a certain fight that's taking place in the wee small hours of tomorrow morning. Tyson Fury is taking on Deontay Wilder. Who's going to win it? We'll find out after this.
The Grill.
Live from the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens.
The Wild is calling. Will you answer?
Hashtag Run Wild.
Down here live from the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens, and we're in amongst it at the moment. We're down here in the village area getting ready for the final. What time's the final tonight, Mark Archer?
7:29, Thomas.
That's when you can see New Zealand taking on the USA. Sorry, that's unfair of me. You were just consuming a pie there, and I went straight to you, which is very unfair. And then I've just told everyone about it on air as well, which is even more unfair.
Okay, 7:29.
That's double unfair.
7:29, mark your cards. New Zealand taking on USA. Third, fourth playoff match, we'll see England take on Australia, that old rivalry. And then the battle for fifth place, we'll see South Africa take on Fiji.
Got some stuck in your teeth, Arch.
The boy loves a pie.
There's also football coming up just after 7 o'clock live here on Dubai Eye Winner 3.8. Our feature game, Chris McCarty.
It is Manchester City taking on Bournemouth. That will then be followed by our late game, Southampton against Manchester United. So both Manchester clubs taking on sides on the south coast. There is a full... Well, there's some decent games this afternoon, that's for sure. Crystal Palace taking on Burnley. It's Huddersfield against Brighton, Leicester against Watford, Newcastle against West Ham. So five matches kicking off at 7. As I say, our featured match, Man City against Bournemouth. And then it is the Saints taking on United. One early result to bring you from the Championship, and it was an nail-biter, this one, a Yorkshire derby at Bramall Lane. It's finished Sheffield United 0, Leeds United 1. The former Valencia man Pablo Hernandez with the only goal of the game after 82 minutes, so nip and tuck all the way. Leeds get it, and that result has taken them to the top of the English Championship. 39 points, 2 points clear of Norwich, then come Middlesbrough 2 points further back. With Sheffield United, they slip down to 5th.
Celta Vigo beating Huesca a little earlier on in the Spanish La Liga as well. A couple of games to look forward to there this evening. Real Valladolid taking on Leganes, Getafe at home to Espanyol. And then Real Madrid are in action at 11:45 this evening against Valencia. There's a game underway over in the Italian Serie A. One of three games today. They're 27 minutes in. And it's a goal apiece between Spal and Empoli. SPAL and Empoli going head-to-head in the early kickoff over there. A little later on, you've got Fiorentina against Juventus and then Sampdoria against Bologna. So plenty of football to look forward to throughout the remainder
yes,
of the
indeed.
Day.
Yes, indeed. The games over in Germany have just kicked off as well. Yet to see any goals. Dortmund taking on Freiburg. It's Hannover against Hertha. Stuttgart against Augsburg. And Werder Bremen taking on Bayern Munich. Any goals going between now and 7. We'll keep you bang up to date.
There's also the small matter. I said the small matter. Small matter of two very large men going toe-to-toe over in Vegas. What time's this one getting underway? Robbie Greenfield, any ideas for us here in the UAE?
This one is going to be starting at 8:30 a.m. local time tomorrow morning. So Chris and I
are going still to be parked in situ. Yeah, we'll probably still be going. Yeah. We will be watching this on a big screen somewhere, because I tell you what, this is a truly, truly intriguing fight between a man of 6'9" in Tyson Fury and a man of just a meagre 6'7" in Deontay Wilder. A knockout specialist, 40 wins, 39 knockouts, no defeats. Tyson Fury, 27 wins, no defeats, 19 of those knockouts. Two enormous reaches, 85 inches for Tyson Fury, 83 for Deontay Wilder. And it's one of those classic styles make fights boxing matchups, yeah, whereby Deontay Wilder is the one-punch artist. He's clumsy, he's cumbersome, he's often off balance when he's in the ring. But if he catches you, you go down. Historically, his opponents, Luis Ortiz, we saw in his last fight, was winning the fight until absolutely rocked in the 10th round by just an absolute bomb from Deontay Wilder. Tyson Fury, more of a kind of an intelligent...
A thinking man's boxer.
Yeah, a thinking man's boxer, and someone who's going to look to frustrate Wilder, to outbox him, to outpoint him. And the theory is that if he can avoid the big right of Deontay Wilder, then Tyson Fury, provided his fitness is up to scratch, can win this one on points. You'd have to make Wilder the favourite, but Fury has a style. There's no doubt about it. If these two were match fit, if this fight had taken place 3 years ago, you'd make Fury a big favourite in this one, because he can negate. He's got the tools and the reach and the jab and everything that's needed to negate the offensive power of Deontay Wilder.
Lots of opinions on this fight, and you two are best versed around this table to qualify those opinions, given the reading of the fight game you have. I've just been talking to get ready for a little debate. It's a name drop weekend, isn't
Come
it?
On.
You know, it's a name drop weekend. I've just been having a chat with Liam Plunkett, the England bowler. Boom, thank you very much indeed. But he's a massive boxing fan. He's really looking forward to this one. In fact, he's just changed his flight. Oh, actually, I don't know if he's told his wife. He's just changed his flight home because he wants to watch the flight tomorrow. He doesn't want to be on a flight. So he's just changed it so he can watch this flight. He says Wilder within three. If not Wilder within three, Fury's fight goes to points.
For me, the longer the fight goes, you would then have to assume that Tyson Fury has settled in and he's been able to frustrate Wilder. As Robbie rightly points out, the Wilder, that coxed right of his, it's the biggest shot in all of boxing. He throws punches from all sorts of angles. He's an odd fighter to actually study. And I know Tyson Fury and his team have been doing just that. They're looking at ways that they can negate that huge punching power of Deontay Wilder. I'm with Liam Plunkett on that front. The longer the fight goes, the more it plays into the hands of Tyson Fury, no doubt about that. That being said, Tyson Fury has been inactive. I know he came back, but that takes it out of you. It really does. And when you swell to the size that he did, yes, okay, he's been up in Big Mountain, he's been trying to get up to altitude. He had to stop that training camp. He was getting too sick, for goodness sake. There have been changes as well, and I liken it to what happened with Ricky Hatton. Ricky Hatton, he had a coaching staff that worked for him. He made changes. He went, in actual fact, to Floyd Mayweather's father. Similar stuff here. Freddie Roach was added to Tyson Fury's coaching team 2 weeks ago. That, to me, smacks of a little bit of desperation. And I think my head tells me it will be Wilder. My heart kind of would go with Fury, because I'm with Robbie on this. If every single heavyweight fighter, and I include Anthony Joshua in this, were in a ring, who is the best? Technically, it's Tyson Fury all day long. He, for me, is the best heavyweight, technically, but of course, technically, doesn't win you fights.
He's fought two, I think that the technical term in boxing is bums, on his comeback. He's fought Cephas Safari and I think Francesca Pianetta, one of whom quit on his stall after four rounds of what was a complete non-contest. The other one was, it was almost like they were just, you know, tapping each other in the middle of the ring. It was an embarrassment. And then he's accepted a Deontay Wilder challenge. Wilder's last fight against a really tough nut in Luis Ortiz would have been perfect preparation. So in terms of where he's come from 28 stone Tyson Fury, he's all the way down to 18 stone. He still outweighs Deontay Wilder by 3 stone. But his body is ballooned. He's come back down. He's had mental health issues as well. All that water under the bridge, and it's going to be scar tissue that he's carrying into the fight. You would say that Deontay Wilder will have the necessary equipment and the tools to knock out Tyson Fury. But I don't think he can win on points, Wilder. He will need to knock him out, because as just Chris just said, if the fight develops into a scruffy, a bit like that Klitschko fight where it was a horrible, horrible spectacle, but Fury negated, frustrated Klitschko into the point where he didn't know what to do. He did not know how to approach the fight. He was sitting on his stool during the change of rounds, just looking completely perplexed at the problem that Fury was presenting to him. So Wilder could get frustrated, and that'll be Fury's best chance of springing an upset.
Chris, where does the heavyweight division go after this fight? Win or lose for both these fighters, I think they both want a shot at AJ. And he's lined up. I think talked about a Wilder fight one of these two next year, sort of April time.
April.
So, how do you see this playing out? Win or lose for either of these boxers? Where do the next big fights come from?
I actually think win or lose for Deontay Wilder, Anthony Joshua will fight him next. I think that's the one that everyone wants. Obviously, from an Eddie Hearn perspective, the promoter of AJ, he will want a Deontay Wilder victory. The reason for that then, come April at Wembley, all the belts on the line, AJ looking to follow in the footsteps of Lennox Lewis, who, let us not forget, is the last undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. You've got to go all the way back then, because of course the two Klitschko brothers refused to fight each other, so the belts were on either side there, and of course they went through the rigmarole of fighting their opponents. So April undoubtedly will be Deontay Wilder, win or lose. Tyson Fury, we said it, we spoke to Anthony Joshua ourselves, he actually used, and I'm quoting here, Tyson Fury would pose him the most problems. Why? Because he's a bit of a nut job, was his words, not ours. What he means by that is Tyson Fury is awkward. Tyson Fury technically is the best heavyweight boxer in the world, and I think he would, if he's fit and he's firing, I think he gives AJ an awful lot of problems. Where Deontay Wilder, with AJ, I'm sure he's looking at him and he'll be watching very closely this fight tomorrow morning. With Deontay Wilder, he is so wild that I think AJ has his measure. I think AJ beats him quite comfortably. So regardless of who wins, if it's Tyson Fury, he'll have to bide his time before he gets
a
shot at AJ.
Can we talk about, very quickly, about you mentioned there Tyson Fury being a bit of a nut job as well. Can we just talk about the weigh-in at the Staples Center as well? Because talking of nut jobs, what on earth did Deontay Wilder actually come as?
He does, Tommy. He arrives for the weigh-in with these masks on. Yeah. He's a frightening character. Apparently,
he missed Halloween by 3 weeks.
He did. And apparently he's had a gold one made for walking down to the ring tomorrow morning, or this evening, should I say, over in LA. It will be tomorrow morning here in Dubai. So he always does this, Deontay. And then you had Tyson Fury arriving, standing up out the sunroof, just kind of waving himself in.
It was
a bit bizarre. Tyson Fury is bizarre, but all the talking will stop, and then we'll have a real good old-fashioned heavyweight bout.
It's fair to say, in heavyweight and boxing, and particularly these two gentlemen, they're a couple of sandwiches short of a picnic basket, aren't they?
I don't know. I mean, look,
you wouldn't say that to their face, Arch.
I'd love to see that. That would be hilarious. I mean, this has gotten progressively more acrimonious as it's gone on. They've actually been building up to this. I think the fight was announced close to 3 months ago, and they went on an initial series of press tours, and they sat and they did a piece with ESPN, they did a piece over in the UK as well on Sky Sports, and they were both very complimentary to one another. It was all quite cordial, it was quite civil. The last few days, it's descended into the stereotypical mass brawl. Chris will say it's all put on, of course.
Of course it
He'll
is.
Say it's all staged.
There's still seats, there's still seats to be sold.
Yeah, of course, but they're doing a good job of making it look like they don't like each other anyway.
Can't wait for it. 8:30 tomorrow morning. It is over in LA.
Are we going to Robbie's place to watch this tomorrow?
We are on the hunt for a place. I've rung around, and Arthur is somewhere around here from Down Anchor. Apparently they are not showing it, so we need to find somewhere, because and I want to extend this invite to the listeners as well, but definitely us five. We'll be at bed early tonight, and we'll be up bright and breezy to watch that one.
Yeah, all right. send us in your thoughts. Text us to us on 4001. We're just getting pictures come through to our broadcast position of the crowds. The stands have filled to capacity in anticipation of the final. What would you say, Mark Hutch, having been down here and a keen observer of all things rugby, and of course rugby fans over the last 2 days, what's been the theme of the fancy dress this year, do you think?
Ooh, it's tough, hard to say.
It's a lot of Freddie Mercury.
I'll say Animal Kingdom has been a big strong thing.
The Running Wild, hashtag Run Wild.
We've just seen a group of Smurfs.
There's been a lot of budgie smugglers out there as well. I've seen an awful
lot of
them.
Arch was loving that,
Arch was just envious.
This is the pink ones.
There have been a lot of guys just happily strolling around, showing off physique, something that I obviously cannot do, Tom. So
It's been a good crowd, this year. We're just seeing the World Rugby's president, Bill Bowman, handing out the medals to yet another of our victorious teams here this weekend.
I can tell you that the Challenge Trophy final has just been completed. Congratulations to Samoa. They have just defeated France, 33 points to 24. So Samoa will take away the Challenge Trophy. Up next, it's the fifth place playoff. Big match this. It's South Africa taking on Fiji.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be wrapping things up down here live from the Sevens. And, of course, building up ahead of our 7 o'clock kickoff. TalkSport will be bringing you live coverage of the Premier League from 7 o'clock this evening.
Live from the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.
The Wild is calling. Will you answer?
Hashtag Run Wild.
Let's go down to the pitch number one, the feature pitch for more action, because we're coming to the conclusion of the tournament. There is just three games that remain. The third of those games, or the first of those three games, is underway. Mark Archer could put us in the picture of this one.
Yeah, kickoff is a fifth place playoff between the defending champions here in Dubai, the South African team, the reigning winners of last year's HSBC Men's Series Circuits versus the Olympic champions. So two teams who have won a lot in recent years. It's South Africa taking on Fiji. Should be a cracking contest. As both teams, obviously playing for fifth is not where they wanted to be, but there are World Series points at stake. And fifth, of course, is better than sixth.
Indeed it is. So we'll keep an eye on that one for you. There's also football to look forward to as well. I know Chris and the rest of the team have spoken about it a lot, but we do have a feature game for you here on Dubai Eye 103.8 within the next 15 minutes or so. Premier League action is back with a bang as well. Chris, what can we look forward to?
Yeah, looking forward to this one, our featured match. It is Manchester City, the leaders of the Premier League, taking on Bournemouth. Bournemouth going attacking as Eddie Howe. He's looking to fight fire with fire on this one. There are four other matches as well kicking off at 7. It's Palace against Burnley, Huddersfield against Brighton, Leicester taking on Watford, and Newcastle against your beloved West Ham, Tom. And in the late kickoff down on the south coast at St Mary's, it is struggling Southampton against an equally struggling Manchester United. We talked about it earlier. United just can't get consistency in their performance. They'll need to find a good performance this evening to beat Mark Hughes, because of course Sparky, he's got his struggles at Southampton, but he's always got a decent record against United.
Man City can go 5 points clear with their win over Bournemouth this evening. Jesus is back into the team. No Aguero, though, not even in the squad today. Do we know why?
A bit of an injury, according to Adam Bridge. I think he's maybe pulled something midweek in the Champions League. Of course, a 2-2 draw over in France against Lyon, so no need to take any risks. It's a home match against Bournemouth. Gabriel Jesus is an unbelievable talent. We know that. He's not really been given an opportunity this season. So, yeah, I'd still expect Aguero, you still expect City for 3 points.
Can I ask about Phil Foden? A lot of chat about Phil Foden at the moment at Manchester City. All sorts of suggestions about his future as well. There are hopes that the man that they call the Stockport Iniesta gets more game time. Is he going to get more game time now, or would he better serve moving on?
It's an interesting one, that, Tom, because I'm such a huge fan of Phil Foden. Every time I've watched him, he is genuinely, I know he's the Stockport Iniesta, but he is so Spanish-like in the way that he plays the game that I think City have to be careful. We saw Jadon Sancho, the young boy who took a massive risk leaving Manchester City. He's went over to Germany with Borussia Dortmund. He is tearing it up over there. I know Dortmund are one of the clubs that would be interested in picking up Phil Foden if he was to say, listen, I want out of City. But Pep Guardiola is a great manager, knows what he's doing, and fingers crossed Phil Foden will be given an opportunity, because let me tell you, that boy is something special, and he is a future, not only a future England star, I actually think he'll go on to captain England one day.
They play Bournemouth a little later on this afternoon. That might be interesting also, talking about, given the fact that we talked about the Stockport Iniesta, should we have a quick word about the Warrington Modric, the man that they call David Brooks, of course, aka the Warrington Modric. Homegrown talent, giving an opportunity to flourish in a team like Bournemouth.
Yeah, and they spent big money on him as well, David Brooks, did Bournemouth from Sheffield United in the summer, and he's actually on the bench today. He's been given a little rest because he has made huge strides in the first couple of months this season, has David Brooks. What a fine player he is, just 20 years of age, a Welsh international as well. He's been given his stripes by Wales, and you know, Eddie Howe, you've got to say a massive well done to Eddie. You spend big money on a young boy, normally you bed them in, you know, take your time to bed them in, having none of it. If you're old enough, you know, if you're good enough, you're old enough, and that man has certainly proven true with David Brooks. A fine addition to the Premier League, a great acquisition by Bournemouth, and someone again who I think will go on and do wonderful things in his career.
all sorts going on in the world of sport at the moment, none more so than down here in Dubai, where the Blitzbok are out there on the field at the moment. Carl van Rosenfeld obviously keeping a keen eye on proceedings. I mean, this is not the final that the Boks wanted to be playing in.
Yeah, not really too interested for myself here, Tom, but as you say, yeah, still 0-0 against Fiji, but as Chris alluded to a little bit early on, because the points are so important in this series, they'll be looking to win this one and at least walk away with the best possible result. As you say, the Boks have just not quite been up to the standard which was required for this tournament.
Great game just kicking off over in the UK. Barbarians taking on Argentina Pumas at the moment. That one's been underway for the last 21 minutes or so, and points are plenty. One thing you can always guarantee with the Barbarians is points. Argentina Pumas leading the Barbarians by 19-7, but I can guarantee there will be more points in that one, Carl. You didn't give us your thoughts on the Barbars a little earlier on. Are you a supporter of?
Yeah, it's a very South African flavour to it. It seems like Rassie Erasmus.
Feels his man need game time.
Yeah, exactly. So Kulis is in there, Malcolm Hawks, Scott Britz is in there. So, I love the fixture. I always think it's fantastic. And I think the main thing is why we enjoy it so much is because you see open, expansive rugby. You know, the game plans kind of get put aside and the boys just looking to run the ball. But as you say, 21 minutes play, the Barbars are struggling against Argentina currently.
Talking of the Boks, let's see how the Blitzbox are getting on. Let's go over to Mark Archers watching Fiji against South Africa.
1 minute, 15 seconds remaining in the first half, and it's Fiji that have struck first. The reigning Olympic champions have defeated the reigning South African Dubai champions in South Africa. 7-0, they've gone over for a converted try under the black dot, and it's Fiji to kick off. 1 minute remaining in the first half, Fiji 7, South Africa 0.
Big thank you to you all for your partnership over the last few days. A lot of sport that has been consumed down here at the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens. Just enough time for us to give a few predictions if we can. I hope you've enjoyed the coverage as well. Whole host of big names from the world of rugby, and they continue to stream in here. It's always a great buzz round this time of the night, isn't there? That we know the final is almost upon us, don't we, Robbie? And the fact that there seems to be a lot of the sort of former players come congregate in this area that we broadcast from. You cast your eyes to one side, you cast your eyes to the others, you're seeing players from past and present passing us by at the moment.
Yeah, and I'm also finding it very difficult to concentrate with all the smells that are wafting from various barbecues into our little position down here in the VIP village, we can call it. But yeah, loads of famous faces knocking around and building up to that final, which is kicking off, of course, in 36 minutes' time. Looking forward to it. Great to see new finalists. And USA, I wonder, will Bruce Springsteen be blaring out of those speakers come the end of this one? I've got a funny feeling the USA are going to spring an upset here.
It's sort of a missed opportunity, isn't it? You know, our recently christened, christened being the right word, USA Rugby Sevens correspondent Ross Crist.
Yeah.
He's not here.
Yeah.
It's in Sri Lanka.
Opportunity. Opportunity goes a-begging, you know. It's his one opportunity to be out there. He's in amongst it.
He's going to be so upset that he missed meeting Todd Clever.
He's going to be massively upset that he missed out on a little meet with Todd Clever. But I'm with Robbie on this, Tom. I think the USA, I think they're going to spring a little surprise. Sorry, Mark.
I'm not sure. We'll be surprised. You've got a lot of injuries on the New Zealand side. They struggled to hold on in that last match. I think they may have run out of gas. And I guess what they'll try and do is keep the game extremely tight, make it physical, make it a bit of a competition, a contest, not try and give them any room to those speedsters from America. If they can do that and keep the match tight, then you think maybe they've got a bit more experience in the finals. But if they get a bit of space, the likes of those American speedsters, they just have got speed to burn, and they might be a bit too quick for this injury-plagued All Black team.
The Britney Spears tribute act is back out on the field. Must admit, I've not been convinced over the last couple of days, but
you and me both, Tom.
The jury's out on that one, isn't it, Chris?
Absolutely, my man. I'm not quite sure. I think this will be the final time that we see the Britney Spears tribute.
At least she's lip-syncing like the real Britney, eh?
A quick word for the Spaniard, John Rahm. Don't get much rest of these golfers, international golfers. He fired a 9-under-63 to share the halfway lead at the Hero World Challenge over in the Bahamas. 24-year-old world number 8 was joined at 10-under by Sweden's Henrik Stenson, who posted a 66. I say they don't get much rest, but then again, we are talking about the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas. I'm sure it's not much of a hardship to get down there, is there?
No, they call it wheelbarrow season in the golf world, where they get the wheelbarrows out and they load it, they stack it, pile it high full of cash, Tom, because it really is the time where these big players will pick and choose their schedule. I think the serious stuff gets going right here in the Middle East. in January with the swing of events that take place at the start of the year, starting with the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship. But yeah, John Rahm finding some form, 10 under par, Henrik Stenson alongside him as well. Notable that Tiger Woods, who had a rule violation, I think he had a double hit during his round, he's 2 under par, having come off the back of that. Again, rather lucrative challenge with Phil Mickelson that created an awful lot of chatter, most of it negative, in the world of golf.
You know, you mentioned there about the Desert Swing, which sort of kicks in at the beginning of next year. Can we expect big names coming here to the UAE?
We certainly can, as always. Yes, Abu Dhabi has a proud reputation of luring at least 6 of the world's top 10, perhaps 7 on an annual basis. So I don't see why any reason why they wouldn't. I know that Rory McIlroy has come out and made a statement in the not so distant past that he would not be playing in the Middle East. He'd be looking to start his season in Florida on the PGA Tour a little later on in March, perhaps to make sure that he's as sharp as possible for the one major that he's not won, the US Masters. But that's a loss, of course. We that's a bit of a disappointment, but the big guns, I'm sure, will be firing in the Middle East, and it's going to be another good little Desert Swing. Mark Archer's nodding.
I was just going to say, a couple of big American names have already committed, I think, to play in Abu Dhabi at the HSBC Golf Championship, the likes of Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka. Now, between those two men, they do hit the golf ball a long way.
Yeah, they do.
They don't say much, though, in fairness.
They do not. They're not going to keep us enthralled in the media centre, but I'm pretty sure they're going to draw the crowds on the golf course because, well, Brooks Koepka, 2-time major winner this year, Dustin Johnson, former US Open champion and former world number one.
That's it from our live broadcast from the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens. Get a quick score update for you for the live action out there on the field. CBR?
Yeah, what I can tell you, Tom, it's currently just under 6 minutes played. Fiji have just taken the lead, 12-7 with a conversion to come.
Thanks very much indeed. CBR, I need a prediction for you before we hand over to our commentary team for our live Premier League fixture here on Dubai I-103.8. Will it be New Zealand or the USA?
I'm going with my new BFF, Todd Clever, and I'm going USA.
Look at that. Mark Archer, over to you. Do I need to ask?
Black Ferns won the ladies last night. I'll go for the New Zealand double, Tom.
Robert?
I will take the Americans, USA, but Chris don't McCarty. Make me do the chant.
I'm going with USA as well. Yeah, sorry, Arch, you're on your own. Well, in fact, the final word goes to you, Tommy. Who's winning it?
No, I'm not going to do that because that's obviously 4. And if I give mine, that's going to be 5. It's going to be imbalanced, isn't it? So I think that's what they call sitting on the fence, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Enjoy it. Listen, we'll bring you all the latest and, of course, reaction from this year's Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens on Dubai I-103.8 in the coming days. For now, though, we hand over to our friends at TalkSport for all the latest from the Premier League. Man City up next. Keep it locked here on 103.8. Enjoy.
Live from the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens.
This is The Grill. The wild is calling. Will you answer?
#RunWild.